Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. We are because God created us. We are here at this place in time for reasons, not by accident, but for specific reasons, by design. We are Coaldale MB Church. We're connected to this local fellowship. We are followers of Jesus. Amen. We are followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God. Larry was speaking about it this morning at the top of where we pray. May God be glorified through every person who attends here, every ministry that goes on, every interaction. May He be glorified. And we are a people. We are those who desire to experience more of God. Our ministry framework. Experience more of God and invite others to experience more of God. We talked about that for 2 weeks. We have a lot more to explore there. But we're moving on. We are also those who are committing to engage in biblical community. I want to do something different this morning. Hopefully there's no casualties. But I want to do something that's important, so I hope you'll take part. My hope is I'm going to toss this out there. The first person to receive it will hold on to this end and toss it. Let it buzz out the middle there and throw it to someone else and to someone else. I'm hoping it goes to that back corner and this front corner and here and there. If you put it up into the balcony, just don't hit our tech guys or the equipment. But we want to roll this around, toss this around our congregation while the service is going on. It'll be really annoying for some of you. For some of you, will be wondering where it is. It's actually very soft. It's as soft as a pillow. So we'll see where this goes during the service. We're going to keep discussing. I won't start it because I'm going to move around up here too much. But yeah, when it gets to you, just hold on to it and keep tossing it. Hold on to it. Keep tossing it. Please, it's not a tug of war, so don't yank on it. Just gently hold it. We will roll it up later and probably make something beautiful out of it. I won't, but somebody will. So I'm going to see how far I can put this baby. All right. Hold that middle thing and let her rip. There we go. Just keep it going. While they're doing that, I'm going to ask you to focus on something else. We're going to do word association. We're speaking on... It's okay. Maybe it has a knot in there. Somebody will grab it and help it out. We're going to do word association while that thing flies around the sanctuary. So I'm going to say a word. And just say the first things that pop into your mind. Say them reasonably loud. I'll repeat it so that we can all hear it. Yeah, sure. If it goes past you, you can take a hold too. It doesn't have to get right to you. Okay, so listening for the first word. Engage. Marriage. What else? I heard something else.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Togetherness.
Sorry?
Active.
Active, yeah. Yeah, it's not passive, it's... Pardon? Clutch? Oh yeah, like engage the clutch. Very good, yeah. Think outside the box. There's all sorts of meanings of this word. Listen? Excellent. Yeah. I need to do that too. Pardon me? Very good. Engage.
Involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Doing something.
Yeah, it's not passive. We're actually moving a direction, right? How about if I expand it to the engagement? What comes to mind? Volunteering. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Helping.
Helping? You betcha. Good. There's lots more we could keep unpacking there. Engage. Yeah, there's movement. It's intentional. Involvement. Marriage. Right? Engagement. Engaged. Engaged in an activity. Here's another one. Biblical.
Jesus.
Yeah. What else do you think of? You hear biblical. Pardon? Truth. Absolutely. Foundational. Right? How else do we know? Biblical. Keep her going. From the Bible? Yeah.
Stories.
Yeah. Jesus was an amazing storyteller. And the Old Testament's full of them. Unpacks truth through stories. Accurate history shared. Mystery? Yeah. Yeah. There's some real mystery to it. Paul says, even in the passage of joining those two together, where he says it's a mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church in Ephesians 5, and I'm speaking about the husband-wife relationship, and both are a mystery. Absolutely. Anything else with biblical?
Foundational.
You betcha. We as MBs ascribe to that. There is some other denomination, and it grieves my heart. They say the Bible, well, it's authority, but it's okay if your local church doesn't take hold of that. And they have a doctrinal statement, and they say, and this is really optional as well. As Mennonite brethren, we say the Bible is absolutely foundational, unequivocally. This is what we go back to for faith and practice. And our confession of faith is what binds us together, and yes, we all commit to it. It's not optional. These are the things. This is how God's revealed Himself. Community. What comes to mind with community? I heard. A new hairdo. Together, yeah. Things together. Other things with community.
Sharing.
Sharing, right on. Yeah.
Living next to someone.
Living next to someone, yeah. In a community, right? Our neighbors. Who is your neighbor?
Love.
Very good. Involvement. My wife heard. I can't. I must have forgot to clean out the potatoes. What?
Brotherhood.
Sisterhood. Yes. The brethren and the cistern. Very good. Yeah, these are all pieces of it we can unpack. We're committed to engaging in biblical community. Not just community. Boy, when we did street ministry downtown Toronto, there is a tight-knit community of youth that live on the streets of Toronto. But boy, is there some aspects of it that are incredibly biblical? And are there some aspects of that community that are anti-biblical? And it goes on in churches too, doesn't it? Some of the community, some of the interpersonal relationships are both biblical and unbiblical in the way we respond to one another. There's something powerful with community. I just want to dwell on that one for a moment. But really being committed together to each other's benefit. If I can ask the guys to bring up the video, we'll show it in a minute. But often when I'm walking with a couple, I'm going through marital counseling, we talk about oneness. And what is oneness? And there's lots to unpack to it. And we become one what? And often one team, one body, one fellowship, one union, one direction. Here's a short video, if they can bring it up. We'll get there in a minute. On being one team, and listen carefully to it, if we can make sure the sound's up well on it.
I'm John.
And I'm Josh.
We're Get In Here Ministries. And you know, Chachi and I, we couldn't be more excited about the idea of teamwork.
And today we're going to take the idea of teamwork and paint you a beautiful picture through the medium of music. Yeah. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay.
Boom.
Hearing Johnny sing by himself is rather putrid and boring. It's amazing what happens when you add others to the mix. Check this out.
You know, through modern technology, we're even able to do this. I'll tell you, though, about teamwork. You know, it's less about me and more about we. Let me kick a harmony.
We all know the old saying that there's no I in team, but there's also no selfish hypocrisy in team either. Let me throw a dato in the mix.
Dato, dato, dato.
You know, when people say no man is an island, I used to think, of course no man is a piece of land surrounded by a body of water. Then I realized what they mean. I think I get it.
Dato, 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 dato.
Somebody once said that none of us is as smart as all of us. And I don't really know what that means, but I know I like it. Now watch me break off something special.
You know, I think we've made some pretty good points about teamwork and the value therein of it.
And if teamwork were a person, I'd love them as all get out.
All right, I think we made some headway on that.
I love it.
Pretty good.
That's awesome. I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it when we
do it like
that.
That's good. Yeah.
You know what I mean by that.
Right.
There's a community doing something together. But I think they made some good little points in there if we're hearing their words as well as their silly antics and singing and modern technology making the music. I want to read Galatians 6:2. We think about community. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. How often do we get together and we keep each other at arm's length? When we're saying community, we're saying belonging, connecting together, a team aiming at a specific goal, right? Some of the most successful sports teams in the past, it's not because they've had one stellar, exceptional player on the team, but they learned how to play together, how they have one goal, and it's not about being a star. I mean, I like football, one of my favorite sports, and only one I really watch a little bit. And the most successful teams, they don't have just one great receiver, but when they go down the field, the quarterback can pass it to many different receivers and running backs. And they can work together, and together they succeed way higher. And we belong, but carry one another's burdens, and we fulfill the law of Christ. Who even knows our burdens? Who are we even open with? See, because if we share our strengths, and a lot of our conversations go there, don't they? They go to our strengths. Here's what we achieved this past week, or at least in the middle ground. I'm okay. If we share our strengths, we get competition. Two kids can do this in the sandbox. My dad can do this, or I can do that. Look at what I know how to do. Watch me, watch me, watch me. A sign of immaturity that we're always going, hey, look at me, look at me. But also a sign of, wow, I really need affirmation and love. And we get competition. The next person isn't really listening or not that really impressed. They're thinking about, wow, how can I impress that person with my knowledge, with my skill, with my wisdom, with whatever. And it becomes competitive. Watch me, watch me, watch me. If we share our weaknesses, we get community. So think about some of your conversations where somebody comes and says, would you pray for me in this? I really need help in this way. How honoring that is. And we dive in together on the same focus. Suddenly, like that, we become a team against this common whatever it is they're facing. None of us have arrived yet. We come in and we got to come in weak and needy. And a biblical community is one obviously seeking after God. Our first part is experience God. And then, flowing out of that, we engage in biblical community. Because unless we're growing with God, there's no way we're going to really move towards a biblical community. If we don't have a growing relationship with God, we will move towards, like I've described on the streets of Toronto, this community that has some elements of being biblical, because we're created in His image. We all long for relationship and belonging. But there'll be some aspects that are completely unbiblical as well. But if we have a growing relationship with God, we're experiencing Him more and more, and more we'll be experiencing biblical community. And it's an active choice to engage in it. We're going to have to push through our fears to engage in it. I also want to read Ephesians 4, the first 6 verses. Paul's writing here. He's talking about the believers and praying. He's been praying for the Ephesians. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you." Make a choice, in other words. I want to convince you to move in this direction. "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." We say we're followers of Jesus. Do we get that? Do we get that's our identity? We need to grow in that. And then live out of that new identity. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You've already received it if you're in relationship with Christ. Not something to come. We already have it. "Be completely humble and gentle." Wow, there's enough. We could just go home and work on that, right? "Completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." People are going through a lot more than we know. And in any given interaction, there's a lot more going on under the surface. And sometimes we go, "I know why you're doing that, because from my perspective, I was in those shoes in this particular interaction. This would be my motivation," but we have no clue about the other. We don't know. Right? I said earlier, when we're going, look at me, as evidence of just how needy we are. But it's also evidence of how desiring we are of connection, of being noticed, of being loved, accepted where we're at. Bearing with one another in love. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." The Christian church has a horrible history of dividing over secondary things. Paul says, don't. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's a few things worth dividing over. But most of them, we're a team. We're a people. We're called. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. Right? In Him we have our oneness. Are we growing towards a oneness? Are we committed to engage in biblical community? What's my role in that? Yes, as a church, as an organization, and as an organism, we want to get better and better and provide opportunities for real connection, for real intimacy with one another, and becoming oneness. But every person who attends here is saying, yes, we agree to this. I'm going to take some responsibility to experience God regularly, consistently, and to invite others to experience God. I'm going to take some responsibility that I will engage. Right? And immediately our fears go up. Who wants to share their weaknesses? Most of us fear, well, it won't be if you only knew the real me, I wouldn't be accepted. And yet that's where community happens. And in Christ, we can push through those fears. But it'll come from this, understanding who we are, the calling that we have received, and journeying, letting Him transform us so that our true character is humility and gentleness and patience and that bearing with one another as they bear with us, because none of us have arrived yet. And making every effort to keep the unity through the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Are we really followers of Jesus, or are we to some degree following our fears even more than we're following Jesus? Are we following our something else and we're going, okay, well, this level of community is sufficient. Biblical community is growing. Because whenever we think we've plateaued, in reality we're doing this. Whether it's in our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, if we think, well, yeah, I mean, we're just kind of moving along like this, I'll guarantee it, our perception is skewed and it's actually doing this. We're actually drifting apart. Building a biblical community is intentional. We decide to move in that direction and we look, what's my responsibility in this? I love that Devin and Diana have started a young adults ministry. They're going, we need connection with other young adults and inviting others into that journey. There's other ways we need to do that. There's some small groups, there's care groups, we talked about that in some other ways, ways to connect with God. We need to dive in with real relationships. It matters. God is relational. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've been singing about the Trinity this morning. He's relational all by Himself. And He's created us in His image. And we need each other way more than we realize. And we realize it at this level. And it's certainly more than we actually act on and engage in those relationships intentionally, moving towards biblical community. Commitment to one another. Commitment to being vulnerable and authentic. Is this a place where we can ask real questions? Or do we aim for the, well, I'll make the safe comment. I'll demonstrate how wise I am and make a statement instead of asking that real question that's bugging me right now. This is a place where we can have doubts and fears and express them out loud and walk together. We need to become that, or else we will not be engaging in a biblical community. We'll be engaging in something else. See, because we're always intentional. We're always choosing to move a direction. We're saying as a congregation, we are going to move towards a biblical community. And so it's going to get messy. We're going to have to get involved in each other's lives in a growing way. Not in just an arm's length way. So it's going to come down to individual conversations. Us choosing to be vulnerable. Us choosing to ask and focus on them, allowing God to meet my needs so I can focus on someone else. What we practice here will better be able to care for a needy and desperate and hurting world. We'll get better and better at it. And becoming a biblical community is evangelistic. Because reasonably healthy relationships, reasonably caring relationships, it draws people's attention and they're going, wow, what's going on over there? That's different. That's different. When they get together, there's a different dynamic than I've experienced before. And it rises up, even in those who don't know Jesus. It causes something in them that God's put in them, because everybody's created in the image of God. And it makes that rise to the forefront. And they go, oh, I long for that kind of belonging too. Right? The youth on the streets of Toronto have a sense of belonging, and they know who's in their group and who's not. And they can fight amongst themselves. But boy, if you get in there and do something that violates one of them, you'll have every single one of them turn on you in an instant. And it's powerful. There is a sense of belonging. There is a sense of community. And some of it's good, but it does get distorted. They do use each other. And we want to move towards a biblical community where we're not manipulating and using each other, but where we're learning how to walk together side by side, and neither one of us has arrived someplace yet. But we can learn from every single person we interact with. This wool that we have cruising around the room. We could have had a much longer one until every single person in the room. Maybe we feel, oh man, I'm not really part of it. Many people feel like that coming to church every week. I'm not really one of the ones holding on to that. I'm not as connected as that person. She's got her relationships. This guy's got his. And I'm the odd person out. I'm not quite as connected or known as someone else. I can't tell you how common that is. Most of us feel that way at different times, and some of us feel like it through extended times. What we're committing to is I'm going to move towards engaging in biblical community. I'm going to take some action to receive what and ask for what I need. And I'm going to take some action in providing for someone else what they need. I'm going to be a blessing in someone else's life, and I'm going to give them the privilege of being a blessing in my life. But it'll be intentional. Reality is we are all much more interconnected than this in multiple ways. But the commitment is, will we take it from where it's at? Will we go deeper? Will we open up our lives to a greater extent? Because in this mix, God wants to bring about greater healing. He wants to bring about more truth in our lives, so we're believing less lies. We all still believe lies about who God is, about how good He is, how loving He is, and we believe lies about ourselves. And they are corrected in community as we come together under Him as our head, as one body. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. So we come together as one people, one biblical community. The corrective process goes on, and transformation happens in our own hearts and our own minds, and as well as other people's. An incredible, beautiful dynamic goes on if we will move in this direction. But it's an individual and it's a collective decision. I want to just pray for us in this journey. I want to reread the two passages that I read earlier. I encourage you to memorize these even. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. And I'd turn that around, give others the privilege of carrying ours. And in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And Ephesians 4. First six verses. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And peace there is shalom. Setting things right as God has ordained them to be. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We verbally said this is our ministry framework: experience God, engage in biblical community, and equip for kingdom service. Here's this piece today. Engage in biblical community. Will we go on a journey together, becoming a team, more and more functional, more and more on the same page, practicing those passes so we can receive, we can carry each other's burdens. Will we commit to this? Commit to that journey. It's going to cause us to push through some barriers. and recognize some lies and replace those with truths. And some of it we won't discover on our own and then decide what we're going to do. We're going to discover it in the mess before we have the answers. I find that so scary. I want to figure it out first and then do the right thing. When I was leading a team with Venture Teams International one time, I had this growing sense something was broken in our team dynamic. We're seeking to minister in another country, and I knew something was wrong in our dynamic. And I wanted as a leader to go figure it out and then go, all right, let's decide how we're going to address this. But I at least wanted clarity of the problem. And God says, you're part of a team. You're part of a body. Now live like it. And I went to a team meeting, called a team meeting, and said, I don't know what's broken, but something is broken and hindering us. Somebody shared a little bit. Somebody shared a passage of scripture. And together we gained clarity. What was going on? And we could move forward. That is so scary. And it's humbling. We love having the right answer and then choosing. God says, in the mix, be completely humble. Will you move together before you understand the problem? Whether it's a personal issue or an interpersonal one or whatever else, and often they're both, will we go together? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, life is so much more of a mess than it is a linear line. And like this wolf cruising throughout the sanctuary here, we are way more interconnected than even this. It's an absolute web. And we can have those lines of connection being super fragile, or we can strengthen them. You are inviting us to strengthen them for our own good and for each other's goods, and for even for the community good, that we truly become one. You don't want our marriages to just be cohabiting either, but to be truly becoming one. And it's intentional that we grow in our intimacy and oneness with our spouse. And it's just as intentional. It's a choice as well as a journey and a mystery that you lead us on. It's all three of those dynamics. But we do have that choice part. And a vulnerability that we go on this journey together. God, would you lead us and guide us? We really want to be Coaldale MB Church, followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify you, God. And we want to do this as we experience you more and more, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, all three. As we experience you more and more, and as we engage with one another, not just superficially, not just at the mediocre, but really engaging where life matters, in the mess of and confusion, and seeking you together in the middle of it. Would you lead us on a journey, God? I pray for those who have come carrying a burden to this place, God. You're giving us an opportunity to not walk away still carrying that burden on our own. But you've put us in this body for a reason, for such a time as this. And you've provided someone else who's willing and able under you, Jesus, to walk with us. They're not going to solve it for us. They're just going to journey with us. Would you point out that person this morning for the one who comes carrying a burden and go, hey, can we talk today? Can we meet this afternoon? Can we meet this week? And for others, do we notice? Have we been impatient with them in the past? Unforgiving? And they're coming to mind. We really don't know what was going on in their lives. We haven't done everything to work towards to keep the unity in the bond of peace. We've broken fellowship to some degree over something that happened in the past, and it's maybe not resolved. Or it's not resolved. You are inviting us, Jesus, to engage in being a biblical community. Father, help us live by faith and not by fear. And for your glory, not for our own safety or comfort or whatever else, pleasure, but for your glory, we want to become followers of Jesus. Help us take steps this very week. Would you bring concrete things to our minds? Invitations, goals, even different ways of dialoguing with each other, asking questions and taking an interest in one another, as well as being more vulnerable about our own journeys. Lead us for your glory and your sake, Jesus. Help us act on what you are bringing to our minds. Give us the courage that we need, Jesus. Amen.